Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm unstoppable. And all Mo. Right.
Yeah, you're Mo, huh?
Yeah.
Alright. Go ahead, Mo. Topic for today.
Jesus. Smooth opening.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Broadcast professionals over here.
Yes, well, you're the one that started it, so just continue and redeem yourself. Otherwise, speak now or forever hold your peace. Put that
down. All right, folks. Let's have some fun with this episode. And instead of hitting some news, we've done a lot of that lately. Let's hit some kind of some fun topics and some theoretical topics and go from there today. So let's open up with, I'm going to throw something out to you. And let me just say, if you're building a wrestling company and you had the opportunity to have either The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin, both are 30 years old and both have 5 years experience in the business, both injury free.
5 years.
5 years experience, 30 years old,
really?
Injury free.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, which one would you rather have?
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Why?
Because I think that The Rock, the way I qualify that, the way the question was answered is that both are equal in terms of their experience in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And The Rock, in 2001, he had about 5 years experience in the business.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking phenomenal. Steve Austin, in 1994, had about 5 years in the business, right? Am I right there?
I'm not sure.
I thought when he won the title, it was 8 years I did this stuff or whatever. I thought he started in like 89 or so.
Maybe let me look this up. Well, you
look
keep
that
on,
up. But anyway.
You keep on talking with your theories.
The reason being is that if you were to say,
essentially we're saying, though, that both men have 10 years left. If you, we say that they're
okay, but I'm just looking at if you were to say Rock from Attitude Era, Austin from Attitude Era, I say Austin from Attitude Era. But when you qualify with the same amount of experience, I think Rock got there faster and was better quicker.
I'll say he got the opportunity faster.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was better faster. I mean, remember that.
But we'll never know.
The Steve
That's
Austin,
right.
The Steve Austin that we were seeing. I mean, you know, wasn't
That's
that
right.
wasn't
wow.
that old when he was really, really
we can only,
good. Like,
but
like
I can only
Steve
comment
Austin,
on
the Hollywood
what I saw.
Blondes. The Steve Austin with the Hollywood Blondes had the same bit of potential as Stone Cold Steve Austin within the WWE to draw money if they had been given the opportunity.
Yes. But so what's your answer?
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. Okay, his first professional wrestling career, just looking at it, his early career, all I can tell you is he was started in 1991.
Okay, against Frogman LeBlanc. So then 1996 Austin.
With World Championship Wrestling. I believe he had been.
Oh, World Championship
Wrestling. Yeah, so it's not what I was saying. Yeah, so it's 89. That sounds about right.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah, I mean.
74. But I know you like to go into flippy-dippy, theoretical, loopy-doopy land and talk about what could have been, where I'm only going to comment on what I actually saw.
What you actually saw. Well, no, that's fine. You're saying that. But, I mean, you kind of break it down to me. I'm going 30 years old. I mean, it's obviously you'd be well off to have both of them.
Of course.
Who would have the greater mainstream appeal?
Yeah.
You have to go Rock, right?
Of course.
You just have to. I'm not sure that The Rock actually pulled more female audience in. He might have pulled more.
Yeah, I think he did.
I'm not so sure. A lot of Stone Cold had his moment there, too. Probably he pulled more kids in. I think that's probably fair. I think
funnier.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I kind of look at it and I go, Austin was the highest drawing guy. But he was the highest drawing guy because he had that great feud with McMahon. Austin, I think, I'm not sure Austin would have reached quite those drawing heights with anybody else. I think Rock would have been able to draw with just about any opponent. I'm not sure Austin would have been able to draw with just about any opponent at the same level.
Austin got to that level. Against Bret Hart is how he built up to that level, and had Bret Hart stayed, I think he would have, you know, had a great continued a great rivalry there. He also had
he wouldn't have drawn as much with Brett as he did with Vince.
Oh no, I don't think he would have drawn as much against Vince, but he with anyone. But
let's just put it this way: Vince doesn't occur. I kind of look at the like Austin, and I go Austin versus Taker, mm-hmm. Foley and Triple H.
Yeah,
I don't think that would draw as much as Rock versus certainly Taker, against, Foley, and Triple H.
Certainly not against Triple H, but him and Taker. Was the other thing that Austin had was that badass aura.
Yeah, absolutely. About him. Much seems like a much tougher guy than The Rock. He just does.
Mm-hmm. Though that was part of the gimmick, right? So
I think he got better money. I'm not sure if it's a better promo, but a better money promo to make me want to see a guy fight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and that's when I look at against when you talk about Taker. I think Austin would draw better against Taker than Rock.
Yeah,
because Austin had that tough guy, so it's a tough guy going against the Phenom versus just, you know, Rocky against the Phenom.
Let's put it this way. Could you have seen, you take Vince McMahon out of the picture, but let's say, you have Austin versus Michaels, and you had Mike Tyson there. Mike Tyson at the time, legitimately, many people did think that guy's still the baddest man on the planet.
Right.
If you had put The Rock in that position, do you think people would have thought The Rock could stand up to a fight against Mike Tyson?
No, you couldn't have done that. I don't think you could have done that at all. So that's the thing. So the way things had went down, it was Austin, right? You couldn't have had things go down the same way by just taking one out and putting the other in, because they're different characters. They're both highly drawing, but they're different, highly drawing in different ways.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I would say, okay, I'm going to just qualify it. We'll end the conversation. I will say The Rock. But I feel like I should go with Austin, and yet I can't talk myself into going with Austin over The Rock in
no.
that situation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I will say, you know, seeing Rock build towards WrestleMania, and then seeing Austin in these last few weeks that we've seen him with the Tough Enough and the guest host, guest general manager for the day or whatever. I mean, those were situations where in both cases he did money promos to make you care about a feud or care about seeing a particular match. And Rock never did
that. No, I mean, Rock, when Rock's talking to the little kid who's doing the Cena rap, entertained the shit out of me. But it didn't really build to a match in the same way.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, so that's it. Okay, all right.
That's all I got to say about that.
And sorry I heard you, but I didn't quite catch you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, go ahead. What do you got next? You have anything to play off of that?
Well, let's talk about who would draw the most. We talked about who would maybe draw the most money or who we'd like to see. Unfortunately, who we will be seeing, but behind bars, is Scott Hall. What do you know about the Scott Hall situation?
Now, this is stemming from an incident from about a year ago, if I remember correctly. And word was originally that he wouldn't be doing jail time, that he would be in, I believe, hospitalized due to his condition. But I understand that he is actually doing some jail time, something like 22 out of the 30 days, something along those lines.
Yeah, he's serving a partial sentence where they didn't think that, that he was going to be. It was over a drunken arrest.
Drunk in a bar. Basically, he became belligerent with the employees and the police officers.
Yeah,
once they showed up
in May, I think. Yeah. May 14th.
Yeah. And you know, same thing. I mean, Scott Hall, it seems like every time we talk about Scott Hall, it is a negative thing. It's sad. I don't know if this pushes the guy over the edge. He was apparently doing better. Is this going to make him worse again? Is it going to make no difference? Ultimately, it's you hope that something like this will just shake a guy and wake him up. But it's Scott Hall, and nothing has ever done that.
That's right. I'm sorry. It was May of last year, so it's been quite a while. He's got to go to jail. He's going to jail May 5th, but he'll be in the medical unit of the jail because of the bad, just the health issues that he has. But he does have to it's 10 days in jail is what he's got to be spending. So.
Okay. It's like I say. I mean, you hate to feel. I'll be happy if we ever get to the point where we no longer feel like the Death Watch is on this guy.
Yeah, when we're not just waiting, and you're right, and that's just, you know, it's sad, and we've talked about it before, and hopefully we won't have to talk about it again, but something unfortunately tells me we will.
Yeah. All right, let's hit something else. Let's hit Hogan Warrior. You watched the entire 55-minute shoot interview.
I did.
Go ahead.
You know, just nothing. You know, the thing was, it just seemed like, to me, Warrior wanted to, and he, I mean, he didn't nonsensically rant or, you know, talk about destrucity or any of that, you know, stuff. He just, he basically came out and said, you know, I don't know if any of it was a surprise. He just talked about how Hogan, you know, it's all this, basically, it's a confirmation, a single voice, a warrior, a confirmation of all the sort of Hoganisms that you heard over the years. You know, he's out for himself. He didn't help anybody. Warrior takes it a little bit, you know, extreme, talking about how, you know, they had an open marriage and you know, he had hair plugs. And,
completely.
And,
well, hair plugs.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. I'm never watching Hogan again.
I know. I was actually...
I didn't know that about him.
I was actually on Hogan's side until I heard he had hair plugs. But, you know, and things like, you know, the open marriage, he talked about the you know, how his Hogan's girlfriend slash wife looks like Brooke, and it only, you know...
What?
And that, you know, what's her name? Linda's boyfriend looks like Hulk, and, you know, just stuff like that, and you know, he didn't really reconnect with Randy Savage, and then...
Well, that was bullshit.
He kept people addicted to drugs in order to control them, and, like, it just, you know...
So, basically, the guy comes... Who comes across worse at the end of this? Warrior or Hogan?
They both come across the same, you know, as you know, I honestly, I didn't learn anything new. So, it just, you know, I just didn't learn anything new. So, to me, it was
basically, I didn't watch the entire 55-minute, I watched the 7-minute trailer, teaser that he put out a couple weeks ago. What you're saying is, you got as much out of that 55 minutes, you got nothing extra in that extra 48 minutes or whatever. Essentially,
I didn't get anything out of any of it because it was something that I, you know, if you had told me, if you had said,
is
hey,
this guy shooting an angle for himself?
I don't think so.
Is he just looking for publicity?
Probably. Yeah, I got it as he was pissed that Hogan said he reconnected with Randy Savage and that. You know, whether Warrior was really close with Randy or whether he considered Randy a friend, maybe that they weren't that close, but that struck a nerve with him, knowing that it was bullshit that he would use, you know, the death of a mutual colleague, let's say, and someone that Warrior thought he would be close to. And use that death for, you know, to get Hogan in a positive life, going, you know, I reconnected with Randy and get his name out there. And I think that's what set Warrior off. That was the catalyst.
Well, the question is, did Warrior always want to say this about Hogan? Yes. Was just looking for an excuse?
Or
did he get angry because of this and now didn't say it?
Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I don't want to say that he always wanted to say it. But it was something that he, I don't know that he always wanted to say this was an excuse, but this is something he's always felt, obviously.
Yeah.
And so now I get the feeling that he's come out, when you talk about does he want publicity, does he want this, but I have a feeling that Warrior's just come out, he said it, and, you know, and that's...
Is maybe, he hoping to get a match, do you think?
I think he just said it, and now he's done.
Okay, two other questions. Well, one other comment. Number one, unfortunately, it doesn't matter to me in many ways because it's been a long time since I've exactly looked up to either one of those individuals, regardless, as far as Hogan or Warrior. But I'll just say this. You watched the entire 55 minutes. Is it, did it entertain you for 55 minutes?
Not really. Again, no. he was just talking. And it was...
Because the 7 minutes entertained me.
I just listened to it and... You know, I just listened to it waiting for something...
more.
Something more. Like, okay, when's the revelation coming here? And it never came, and it was over, and you know, I moved on with my life, and, you know, kind of wished I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I gotcha.
A little disappointing there, but something that so.
Okay. You have any other comments?
Well, I just talk about Sting.
Okay.
Sting has become Heath Ledger in Batman as the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving away from whatever it was that he was before. He wasn't really the Crow Sting before. He hasn't been the Crow Sting.
He hasn't been the Crow Sting in a long time. You know, he's been Showtime Sting with a different makeup.
Showtime Sting is probably the best way to put it. Yeah. And Showtime Sting now has moved to Joker Sting. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, number one, I've heard some people making fun of him because, oh, Jesus, that movie is, what, 3-4 years ago? Whatever the hell it is now. And, you know, and then now they're using it and it's no longer topical. I want to point out when he did become the Crow, I think the movie The Crow was like 5 years old. So that doesn't matter to me, the timeline or how far behind it is. No. I do wonder, you're reinventing a guy's character. That's never a difficult thing. But I would say that, unfortunately, you're reinventing the character of somebody who is really near the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you wouldn't think to yourself, I mean, Shawn Michaels wasn't just before the end of his career looking to completely reinvent his character.
No.
So what does that say about, A, the Sting character, and B, what does that mean regarding how much longer he's going to go or should go? I mean, I'm not so sure if this is a good move or not. I mean, he hasn't been bad in TNA in what he's done, given the material he's had for a long time. But,
right.
I mean, I'm really kind of, I wish I'm kind of indifferent towards it just because it's like, it's tough to get excited about Sting doing something new at this stage of his career.
Well, and that's just it. But at the same time, I think if you are going to continue on and you are going to keep going, you know, the Sting that was there needed to do something.
Undertaker's not going to reinvent his character again at this stage either. Well, so what does it say about the King Sting character that this many years into his performing as a national player,
yeah,
his character needs to be refreshed? Does that mean the character was never that strong, or is that a yeah, good sign on Sting, a bad sign on Sting? What does
well,
that
I mean, the character never was that strong. I mean, Surfer Sting, you know what, he had some notoriety to a certain degree, but never, you know, sort of tippy-top status when you're talking about the Hogans and the Flairs, and I would say maybe you talk, when Sting was Surfer Sting, you're talking Hogan, Flair, you know, Savage, Warrior.
Well, he was the number one guy in a distant number two company at that time, when he was Surfer Sting. You know? So, I mean, what does that really mean?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about, yeah, as I said, but number two, I mean, you still had Flair, you still had, you know, just kind of look at, yeah, okay, so he's number one babyface and a number two, and then he switched over to the Crow Sting, and that's when he was his most popular.
Yeah, that's
his
biggest thing, right?
And then he came out of Crow Sting, and is, you know, he said Showtime Sting. Showtime Sting
was never the same.
Didn't draw a dime, as far as I'm concerned, right?
Somehow the brothers in paint never drew a dime, despite having such a good name
together.
It's
so weird, and you know, Muda was around, too, you know?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
But well, so when you're talking about does it need to revamp, I mean, I like change a little bit. I mean, he's got kind of the red frown there. He paints. He puts the paint after the match on his opponent's mouth, paints him up, you know, like himself. So, you know, that's a gimmick, I think.
Does he put bags over their head?
He does not, which is too bad. But it's, you know, just look at Sting. It's different. It's better because it is something new on a character that was very stale. And so, and he's not doing a bad job. I think if it was anybody else,
I'm not dissing his performance.
I just think though that.
But I wouldn't again. Like I said, I wouldn't for a while.
I'm trying to think if Ted DiBiase was doing this, I would probably think it sucked. But Sting, you know, is a little different. Sting's getting away with it, partially because he's Sting, and partially because he is, he's good with it.
And there is, I'm sure, I can't off the top of, well, you know, there was characters, for instance, Booker T had been Booker T for a really long time, and then it looked like his career was coming down to an end. He became King Booker, and I wanted to see him wrestle for another 5 years.
That's right.
As that character. So, I mean, it can happen the other way around. It can revitalize both a person's own personal enthusiasm for the business, mm-hmm. as well as it revitalized the character for the fan base. So,
yeah.
Anything else you want to say on that? Or I was actually, another one?
Well, I just, last thing I'll say on this is I was actually hoping they went with the Heath Ledger Joker. I was hoping there was another option on the table, and I was hoping that he was going to become a real estate agent.
Hmm.
And just call himself Real Estate Steve.
Real Estate, but that's unrealistic.
That's, yeah, no one would all right, buy
let's
that.
Hit, let's hit two more quick topics, and then let's get to our big interview.
Yeah, okay, two more.
All right, let's talk about Kurt Angle, as long as we're talking about TNA. An interview he conducted where he said he has an out for his an out clause with his newly signed contract. He's happy to re-sign with TNA, but he does have an out clause. I'm wondering if you read anything into that.
Yes, I do.
What's that?
Kurt Angle is full of shit.
Not Kurt Angle.
I know. These people give each other new heads for Christmas, for Christ's sake.
Well, that brings up another interesting point. You know, you say he's full of shit. Mm-hmm. He said that during the initial stages of what occurred between Karen Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett, mm-hmm. that he the considered Jarrett. At the time to go over to UFC, that he was in talks with Dana White,
uh-huh.
and Dana told him, oh, yes, you know, he passed his medical, he said, and that Dana told him, okay, you can sign, but I need you to fight within 1 month. I can't recall who the opponent was, but
Name
Dana
Mark
White
Mark.
told him that he needed to be ready to fight in 1 month.
Right.
This guy who had never fought before and was like 38 and but about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, anything to say?
Yeah. Bullshit.
All right, you know what? I agree with all of that. He's Hogan level. All right,
he's not even Hogan level because people actually still kind of listen when Hulk Hogan talks.
Yeah, it's true. Let's talk about this one. There was an interview conducted by Randy Orton recently where he talked about his face turn.
Okay.
And he said that the first time he turned babyface with Hunter all those years ago coming out of Evolution,
right.
they tried to turn his character around 180 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't work.
Right.
Whereas this time he said, I don't consider myself to be a good guy. It's just that I'm fighting bad guys now, but I'm the same character, and I'm going to slowly evolve it over time
right.
to add some new elements. What do you have to say about that?
Well, largely that's true. Is that when he turned babyface? When you really look at when he turned babyface again, it was the legacy split, and he didn't change at all. Mm-hmm. You know, he basically just people started to cheer for him, and then Edge turned heel mm-hmm. on him right after the WrestleMania there. And again, yeah, he didn't really turn heel at all, and he still hasn't turned. I mean, you even go back to the CM Punk.
There's gentle softening of the character, hugging with Randy Orton and when Nexus and he loses his job, things like that. John Cena, showing concern for Christian after he beats him for the title.
Well, I was going to say now since WrestleMania, and I wouldn't even say since WrestleMania, since for fuck's sake, since he grew the beard and moved to SmackDown, that's really when you've seen him. You know, you've seen a smile on his face. You know, yeah, you've seen the concern there. You've seen him, further back than that, you did see him shake the mutual respect, shake John Cena's when he was fired. But then recently on Raw, when they were the last two standing in that elimination match on the Power to the People, you know, they both sort of shook hands, looked at each other, both went to each corner with their belts and raised it up. So you are seeing a softening. It has happened, though, over, you know, a year.
Yeah, and this one is done well. Like you say, before, with Evolution, he was all of a sudden happy, smiley. You know, I have a concussion, but I'm going to fight through it, babyface Orton. And that did not work, because you changed everything that people were starting to cheer for and glom onto
right.
With the heel Evolution Orton. So I think that's good. I'm not sure. I do wonder if it's him that he learned and won't let that happen again, and he's now in a position of power where he won't, or that the company learned. But the way they turn people heel and baby faces, I think recently has been a little bit better. I think most of the time recently there's been a little more story or logic or trying to explain it and a little bit of a slower pace for turning people as a general rule over the last, I don't know, year or so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm hoping it's a company-wide understanding of how to go about this. So.
And it may be, again, that may be Hunter's influence, right?
Yeah, could be.
I mean, you don't know. So, okay, well, that brings Randy Orton there. So, we'll get to now to our interview. We had an occasion at the Calgary Entertainment Expo about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now.
A week and a half, yeah.
Yeah, about a week and a half.
It was on Sunday. Yeah, a week and
okay,
a half.
Okay, so a week and a half ago to meet up and with Diamond Dallas Page, talk, you know, for – we talked to him for a good, you know, probably 20 minutes. We've got a – we've cut some of the – in terms of the audio, so if you hear it choppy, he did a YRG demonstration for us, and so the video is actually up on our website, and up on YouTube.
Been up for a few days now, a couple
right
days.
Now, yeah. So it's up wetalkpodcast.com. You can see the video there, and that's it's in entirety there with this at a YRG demonstration, which doesn't really mean much on audio here, so we should cut that out. So we'll throw to it now. Do you have anything to add before?
Once again, I appreciate it with DDP. It was everything I expected. And nothing I expected at the same time. Yes, he was a self-promoter, but a far more genuine person than I expected. Really enjoyed it. As he says in here, he's 55 years young. I come in at the end of the interview. I'm 37 years fat. And Addy, you'll notice, and if you've seen the video, he's not actually 14. He's just 34 years ugly.
That's, well, your mom likes it. So anyway, here's our conversation with Diamond Dallas Page. All right, hey, yo, and here we go with a special video edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. We're joined right now by the former three-time WCW champion, the founder, owner, and creator of YRG.
Ah, you know about
just
YRG.
Overall positive cat, DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, how you doing?
Unstoppable, man.
Excellent.
I've been here since Thursday. Came in early. I was hoping to be with Nash.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, We'd arranged this so we'd both be here coming early, hang out, go see some of the sights, get a buzz, have a good time. But he just got that that movie with Tom Cruise.
Oh,
and
did he?
And it started filming on Friday.
Wow.
So he had to bump out, but I've still met some amazing people. The fans are awesome. Canadians, and I'm not saying this because I'm here, have always been my favorite fans because they're so respectful.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember, like, in America, you can be in the middle eating and arguing with your wife, and they'll still come up and go, I really don't want to bother you, but where the Canadian fan literally waits back, it's almost in the shadows that you get up to dinner, and all of a sudden, boom, you're like, would you mind? You're fine. Like, sure, no problem.
Well, you haven't had a lot of time to wrestle up here in Canada. You did a little bit, I guess, with WWF, but WCW.
But Toronto I did.
Right.
Toronto went, and Montreal also wrestled there. Actually, when I tried wrestling when I was a kid at 22, I did like three matches, and my third match was for Crybaby Cannon in 1978.
Wow.
And in that match, it got real, real, real fast because some old-timers are trying to take advantage of a young kid, you know, and I fired back.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we got in the back. I thought I was going to, you know, they beat the hell out of me, man. Really beat the hell out of me. So when I came off the rope for that finish of a clothesline, I didn't know he buried the guy in the face. You know, they knocked the hell out of me, threw me over the top rope. You know, torqued my knee. Now I'm limping. I get to the back. I'm like, thinking, oh, God, it's going to be a fight. My third match, a fight in the back. One guy came from behind me. I didn't see him. He goes, way to fight back, kid.
Just to see if you'd come back.
Yeah, it was interesting. But my career didn't, of course, didn't start until I was 35.
Right.
Everything changed. You know?
And started up in AWA?
Started in AWA.
Down in AWA here.
Down in AWA. I was 32 then as a manager.
Yeah.
And then worked at Florida Championship Wrestling as a manager and a color commentator with the great Gordon Soley.
Gordon Soley and the coach, I guess.
We the used coach
to get,
as well.
Used to get it on the ESPN Classics up here. We used to get that Florida Championship Wrestling with Steve Kern. And
yep.
Yeah.
Dusty was running the promotion for a while. That's how I became so close with Dusty Rhodes. Yeah. But it was amazing to work with Gordon Soley.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
He was
the dean.
He was amazing, yeah. And I learned so much from him. So, you know, by the time I got to WCW, I had a pretty good, you know, pretty good education.
That's right. Well, speaking of WCW, we've got the Best of Nitro
DVD.
Oh, here we go.
Here. I'm going to be playing it right now, the very Best of Nitro, for the fans who come up and... They did a really good job on it, I thought.
I thought so, yeah. I just finished it up third disc yesterday, so
You mentioned Volume 2. Have there been any talk of that? Or?
It's all if it sells. Right. You know, the reason why there's a very best of WCW, is because the Monday Night Wars sold so well. But they promoted the hell out of that.
They did. Yeah,
they promoted the hell out. They have not put any promotion on this yet. And I don't see any coming. I don't see it coming. So it really comes down to the fan. And I've had so much positive, and I have had a couple, not negatives, but they didn't do this, and they didn't do that, and they didn't do this, and they could have done the angles, and that's what Monday Night Nitro was all about, that in crazy spontaneity, and the kid was right, but it's 8.5 hours.
Right.
You know, so first, you know, you come up with that matches, and a lot of those matches are really good. I personally think, and not being biased, but I think the match of being Sting, where I dropped the title to him,
is
the best match on the card.
Yeah.
And on the whole DVD, because of all the things that happened. During that match, you go back and watch it, Sting's coming in for the splash, right?
Right.
And we're going home. We're going to finish this match up. And he didn't hear the referee say 5 more minutes. So I grab him and throw him to the floor. Yeah. And as I'm beating him around, you could tell, like, he's getting really pissed.
Yeah.
And he's going with it, but he's really getting pissed. So I had to choke him. I go, we got 5 more minutes. And all of a sudden, he was cool. And that whole end of that thing was all improv except for the finish.
For the finish.
Yeah,
nice.
It was awesome. DDP TV, I talk about what I'm doing, where I'm going. I talk about my career. I just put up a tribute to Macho Man.
You had a great tribute to Macho Man, yeah.
Did you see what was under it, though? Under just a tribute?
No.
But you see, if you just subscribe to me on YouTube, then you only get to see that video.
That's where I saw it. Yeah.
You don't get to see the 20 other videos that are below that are from 3 minutes to 8 minutes about me talking about the behind the scenes that happened with the 1997 Feud of the Year.
Yeah.
And how they tried to screw us around, and what Mach did to fix stuff, and you know what we did to stay on top and become the Feud of the Year.
Yeah,
you know, as we all know, wrestling, a lot of backstabbing. You know?
What,
it's
really?
Like it's like Rome with muscle. You know. But you know, the bottom line is that if you go to Diamond Dallas Page, it's all there. And lastly, if you want to come and be a part of, I'm doing DDP's YRG Retreat Extravaganza. The video's right there in the front of DiamondDallasPage.com. And at the end of August, you can come down and spend 3 nights or 4 nights with us. We're going to it's going to be a party. My goal is you don't gain more than 2 pounds. Because we'll be working out, and we'll be teaching people how to eat really healthy, but taste great.
Right.
Because if it don't taste great, I don't care how good it is for me. I'm not eating it. You know? Yeah. It's got to taste great.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you mentioned YRG, and this, we thought we would give you just a sneak peek. You mentioned you got hurt.
Yep.
You had to develop the plan. We just wanted to show you what you may have looked like had you not developed YRG.
Yep.
And
awesome.
What? You, of course, all know me. In case you don't, I'm YRG's best victim, fat self high five, DDP.
We get rid of that freedom, baby. Bang!
I want to ask you a question. Now, as you look at me and how good I look compared to you, Diamond Dallas Page, fat DDP, and real DDP, isn't pizza delicious?
You know what? I'll eat gluten-free pizza.
What the hell is that?
No wheat, baby. See, look at the rest. You're not heavy. You know what this is? This is a wheat belly.
No,
wheat,
you know wheat what belly. This is? This isn't a wheat belly.
Yes, it is.
This is an engine to an ass-kicking machine.
How much wheat is in there?
A lot.
Now, if you don't mind me saying so, you were with one of the most beautiful women to ever walk the planet.
Absolutely.
Kimberly Page.
Absolutely.
I was with one of the fattest women to ever walk the past, fat Kimberly Page. But we both nailed a woman named Kimberly, self high five. No. You're DDP, and I'm DDP. See what I did there? What I did was we're both DDP.
Okay.
All right.
My hairs look bad at times, but that's more like Gorgeous George.
Okay.
All right. I think that deserves maybe a diamond cutter.
Yeah.
No!
All right. Well, thanks for having fun with us, DDP.
Good time.
Thanks so
much. Good time. Go to DiamondDallasPage.com, and you will feel the bang, monkeys.
All right. Well, no, that was really good. As he said, you are fat, and he agreed.
So. Yeah. Well, no, I wheat's good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just in moderation.
Yeah. No, I once again, really appreciate her putting up with our bullshit. I encourage everyone to go watch that on YouTube. You'll see everything you missed out. If you don't see the visual of me approaching DDP dressed as a fat DDP, I think you're kind of missing out on something. So please, everyone, check that out. It's a lot of fun. And thank you, thank you, DDP, for putting up with our bullshit, and we hope in the future he'll be gracious enough to give us some more of his time, if we're fortunate.
Yeah, Mo was just eating some bread there, but that was great.
Whole wheat bread.
Yes. So, moving on, let's talk about All Wheels Wrestling.
Fuck, really?
Yes, All Wheels Wrestling had their...
You're going to have to fill people in on this fucker.
Well, they just had their taping, I don't have the taping results in front of me here. Just had their taping the other day.
What channel is this on?
At the Impact Zone. It's being taped for the Speed Channel.
Okay.
It's Hermy, not Kevin Kelly. It's the shitty ring announcer, the commentator. But Hermy Sadler, who is... It's basically a combination of wrestling and auto racing, of NASCAR. And it's going to be... It's going to be taping here, as we record this here on Wednesday night, going up on Thursday, so we don't have the results. But we do know there's apparently four teams.
It's a slightly different, it's a TNA offshoot. TNA has a portion of ownership of this company,
mm-hmm.
because their own company is going so well, it's time to expand. This is not a developmental system, from what we understand. It is partially owned by, you say, Hermy Sadler, was he a driver in NASCAR? Or
yeah, he's an auto racer.
But
yeah.
He's had some association with TNA in the past.
Right.
He's been an indie promoter. What are we looking at here as far as the concept, mm-hmm. and who are we looking at as far as the performers?
Yeah, I have no idea what the concept is, to be honest with you. All I know is that it's a combination of auto racing and wrestling, and it's not a football league.
Thurman Sparky Plug is obviously on the roster. Bob Holly.
Bob Spark Plug Holly should actually be maybe their commissioner if he's not the anonymous Raw general manager. So let's just go through. I mean, the people that we know as of the time we record this here are there's a team called Team 720, and apparently
shouldn't it be Team 420 in RVDs?
Maybe that. Very well could be, and those drivers drive around without their shirts on.
Well, it's hot.
Because it's hot. But this is a high-risk team. Apparently their inspiration is BMX, snowboarding, skateboarding. This Team 720, they're inspired by the X Games. And their team captain is known as Schwag.
Schwag.
Who we know as Sanjay Dutt.
Well, that sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is TNA.
The next.
Do we have any idea who's booking it? Is Sadler booking it?
No idea.
Okay.
The next team is called Team Octane, and is inspired by stock cars.
No.
Yes. Yes. They know what it takes, as the press release said. They knows what it takes to entertain a crowd and wrestle full tilt. They have their bravado to talk their way out of any situation, but prefer to settle conflicts like men in the ring. They are actually the odds-on favorite to win the AWW Championship Cup. How that happens, knowing none of the participants, I have no fucking idea.
Is this similar to the Bound for Glory series?
No, because I know stuff about the Bound for Glory series. I know nothing about this.
So their team captain.
Yes, their team captain is known as J.R. Lethal.
J.R. Lethal?
J.R. Lethal.
Oh, has he ever performed for TNA?
I don't know the name. He has.
Okay.
Yes, and he was on the ROH pay-per-view this past Sunday. So, the next team, Team Dynamo. These are apparently going to be...
Are they going to be in wheelchairs?
They are big, bad, and powerful.
Oh, okay.
Some people don't like the way these muscle heads handle their business, but when you've got at the tip of your fingers all the horsepower and motocross monster truck drivers have, who's got the balls to tell you no? This is a press release, by the way.
It's a press release.
Yes. Wonderful. Their team captain is the Human Cyclone.
Terrible name.
Who is Aaron Jesus Aguilera.
Isn't that... Oh, I thought we were going to say the Human Tornado.
No.
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 The indie performer. No. Former PWG. And
yeah, no, I'm
very
not.
Good performer. Instead, yeah. it's a muscle head.
It's Jesus.
Jesus.
Well, that's because these are like the monster.
Oh, yeah, too. That's right. That's right.
So we've got the
so they'll win.
So we have the X Games
team. They're the biggest team, so they'll win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have the X Games team. We
Shouldn't
have
it be the X Division team.
Stock car team.
Yeah.
We've got the monster trucks. And now we've got Team Defiance, who will take no for an won't take no for an answer. They're inspired by international styles of racing.
Oh, okay.
They will go to any means necessary to stay on top of the Championship Cup leaderboard. And their team captain is...
So they're on top of it right now.
I have no idea. Their team captain is named Dubai, who is... what's his name there? Daivari.
Sean Daivari.
Yes.
Who was a fantastic guest a few weeks ago on our show.
He was. He was a dick.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. He just yelled at us and hung up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he yelled at you, really. But
I don't really believe... God damn it. I mean, I'm having trouble when I hear the names Dubai, JR Lethal, the Human Cyclone, and Schwag deciding which is the shittiest name. I'm going with Schwag just slightly over the Human Cyclone, but it's a tough motherfucker.
I'm going with Schwag because it's not a 1993 David Letterman sketch.
And it's Sanjay Dutt. The original player from the Himalaya. Again, I'm not a... I mean... And why are wrestlers inspired by... Anyways, I'm not going to... I'll give it a shot. Because I can't really slam it before I get a shot, 100%.
Right.
But and do we know if it's a four-sided ring or a six-sided ring or anything like that?
We know nothing about it at this point.
I just got to say, I can't picture this not being utter shit.
Yeah, it sounds like shit.
It sounds terrible.
It does. It really does.
I wish I didn't have to say that, but that's just the way I feel.
Yeah, no, I don't care whether... I don't really necessarily wish to say or not say, because, quite frankly, it sounds like shit, so I have no problem saying it sounds like shit.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, I got a good topic here, or I got a game. What do you want? Do you hit the game now?
Time to play the game.
Time to play the game. Okay. This game is called Alias, or Who Am I?
Jennifer Garner.
Nope. What it is basically... And not Jackie
what
Chan
it is?
Either.
Oh.
What this is basically,
what
I'm going to take a character that's fairly well known, a performer you'll know.
Oh.
And I'm going to give you his real name. Okay. For instance, Billy Kidman will be the first guy up.
Billy
I'm going to give you three names. Two of the three names
are
names he's actually
name?
Used.
Oh.
No. Don't interrupt me. People are trying to fucking understand this at home. There is no wagering encouraged, though the betting line in Las Vegas, I understand, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I'm going to give you three names. Two of these names he has used as a wrestling performer. One of these is a fake name. You have to pick out the fake name.
The fake name. Glenn Jacobs.
No. Not the fake Kane. That would not
oh,
be
Oh, the
Glenn.
Fake name.
The fake okay. And the fake Kane wasn't Glenn Jacobs anyways. He was the fake Diesel. The fake Kane was...
Festus.
Festus, whatever the fuck his name was.
Festus.
Was his real name?
Festus.
All right, Billy Kidman.
Festus Smith.
Here's the three names.
Okay.
Billy Kidman.
That's a proper name.
No.
Yes, it is.
Shut up. Here goes. Three names. Kid Flash, El Technico, Swift Strange. Pick out the fake motherfucker. Do you need me to repeat them?
You told me to shut up.
Do you want me to repeat them?
Yes. I wasn't listening.
Kid Flash, El Technico...
Okay.
Swift Strange.
I'm going to say El Technico.
No, the fake name is Swift Strange.
Okay.
He was once Kid Flash and El Technico.
Okay, then.
All right. You're 0 for 1. You suck. Ooh. Wade Barrett.
That's an actual name.
Yes. Now, work name.
I win.
Okay. Lawrence Knight, Ripped Roddy,
nice.
Stu Sanders.
Okay, I believe he was Stu Sanders. I'm going to say, what was the first one again?
Lawrence Knight.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one.
No, the fake name is Ripped Roddy.
Ripped Roddy.
Ripped Roddy.
That's too bad. That's an awesome name.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad when I came up with it. Okay, Al Snow.
That's a real name.
We all know Al Snow, because what do we know about him?
Huh?
What do we know about Al Snow?
He sucks. He's a shitty booker.
Yeah, but he's
a douche. Good,
fantastic in Foley's books. I'm glad he existed.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you're the one.
Al Snow. Pretty Boy Al, 5-star ninja, Steve Moore.
I'm going to say Steve Moore.
Pretty Boy Al is the fake name.
Really?
He was Steve Moore and 5-star ninja.
Well, yeah, 5-star ninja, yes.
Okay. D'Lo Brown.
Okay, that's a real name.
Yep. Ace the Animal.
Okay.
Ace Brown.
Okay.
Animal Alvin.
I'm going to say Ace Brown.
Animal Alvin is the fake name. He was once Ace Brown and Ace the Animal.
He kind of looked like a chipmunk earlier, so Animal Alvin would have made sense.
Before he lost all the weight.
Yeah.
You have not got one right yet.
Nope.
I hope you guys at home, when you're playing, are doing better. Charles Wright, also known as the Godfather.
True.
Also known as, what else was he known as?
Papa Shango.
And comma?
Comma, the Supreme Fighting Machine.
Okay, Charles Wright. One of these is fake.
Okay.
Baron Smedley, The Curse, Rocky Las Vegas.
I'm going to say Baron Smedley.
No, The Curse is the fake name.
Oh.
He was once Baron Smedley.
That's cool.
He was also once Rocky Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, sure, but he was from Vegas, so that made sense.
Currently the owner or the operator of Cheetah Strip Club, is it, in Vegas? Is it?
Could be.
Yeah. Or both, owner-operator, I believe. Sid Vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Was he known as Sid Steele, Vicious Warrior, or Too Tall Udi?
Ooh. I'm going to say Vicious Warrior.
Yeah, that's a real name. The fake name was Too Tall Udi.
Well, you thought what you asked me.
What?
You said, was he?
You know how the game is played.
I what?
You pick up the fake name.
Right, and then we have to climb in the ring and win the Battle Royal, right?
No, but when you take a step, or you'll jump off the second rope, mm-hmm. and you'll suffer one of the most devastating injuries of all time.
Yes.
Yes. You have not got one right yet.
Nope.
Yeah.
This game is rigged.
Abyss, was he known as Power Child, Stone Mountain.
Georgia?
Power Child, Stone Mountain, or Stone Warrior Mountain.
Georgia?
Jesus Christ. Power Child, Stone.
I think Jesus Christ.
Power Child, Stone Warrior Mountain, Hooded Victim.
Hooded Victim.
You're saying that's the fake name?
Yeah.
That you'd be right.
Hey, I'm
You off. Got one right.
And I also said Jesus Christ was a fake name for bonus points.
Colt Cabana.
Okay, that's a real name.
Poofy, Twinkie the Kid, Masked Flipper number 7.
Poofy the Kid.
Poofy the Kid is the fake name.
Told you.
Actually, it's Twinkie the Kid, but Poofy is a fake name. Yeah, okay. Masked Flipper number 7 is.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
No, that seems like a Chikara deal.
Recently rehired, uh-huh. Trevor Murdoch.
Ah, yes, yes.
Scotty Lee, Trevor Rhodes, Laughing Lee Evans.
Well, I know he was Trevor Rhodes. I know that. That's actually what he was before. He was Trevor Murdoch.
Okay.
Just changed the names of one of the Texas Outlaws.
Okay.
What was the other ones now? Laughing.
Laughing Lee Evans and Scotty Lee.
I'll say Scotty Lee.
Laughing Lee Evans is the fake name. Lee Evans is actually a comedian in Britain and maybe the funniest man on the planet, other than myself.
So that's a fake name?
Yeah, it was the fake name. Yes, you were wrong. Okay. You have still only have one right. And
what
the last
did I
one,
say?
You said Scotty Lee.
Oh.
Okay, douchebag. The last one is Big Zeke, Ezekiel.
Oh,
current
okay.
Intercontinental Champion within the WWE.
Yes, yes, he is.
Is he Big Rick Hits, Johnson Jackson, or Ricky Atlas?
I hope Johnson Jackson is the fake name.
It is.
Okay.
It
I just
is.
Know how you feel about black men, so I figured Johnson
well, being
the first name would
Jack,
have been something you thought of.
I used Jack Johnson, the great boxing champion who was screwed many years ago.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Similar story to what Muhammad
so,
Ali
so,
in some
so
ways
talking about,
occurred.
So
in the,
using,
in
so
the early
Jack,
1900s,
Jack
heavyweight champion
Johnson
who had
screwed.
To go on a fight abroad in Europe. Anyways.
Jack Johnson screwed Big
I like
black
the fact
man.
That his name
I know
was
your mind, thanks.
Big Rick Hits. It is spelled H-Y-T-Z. Mm-hmm. Ricky Atlas. I like that. Heights. Yeah. All right. Good game. Good game. You got two right.
What about Ricky Attacky?
10. 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. And I got that bonus point for Jesus Christ, so I got 3 out of 10.
Statistically, you should not have been able to do that shitty. But you are stupid. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's hit another topic.
Okay.
Your turn, my turn.
Okay, well, your turn, because I want you to talk about this manager's list, because I haven't seen it, and I thought you
actually,
should
surprise
me. Actually,
you know what? I'll tell you what. Well, I mean, call it. Do you want me to call it up? You want to call it up?
You call it up, because
okay,
you know what
now,
the fuck
of
you're
course,
looking for, and
we're
I
doing this on the radio. So, on the
AM
you know,
radio.
What we're going to do is, and we're real sober, surprisingly, but what we're going to do is, Addy is going to sing while I look this up, so you all will continue to be enjoying the show, or at least, perhaps, in many people's cases, starting to enjoy the show.
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
That's seriously the best you can come up with?
Why? Well, I met this lady, and I told her
quite
a story, said I'd love her forevermore. But the trouble is, I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. This is the Slickster coming at you, honey. Well, first they love me, and then they won't. Sometimes they do it, and sometimes they don't. So I said to this girl, hey, you get out. And she got to her feet and began to shout, you're a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro. And you always lie to your friends. You're a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro. And you never get nothing in the end.
That was a big woman. All right, number 25.
It, okay, so what the fuck, kid? This is a manager's list. You didn't really tell me too much. So this
okay,
is
basically,
the 25 top managers of professional wrestling as by WWE.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Number 25, The Genius.
Full of glory and renown. Do you want me to guess these, or do you just want me to do it?
No, I'm just going to read them out to you.
Okay,
and I'm just gonna, and you if there's something that stands out to you as being in a poor position or strange, just jump right in.
Okay.
So number 25 is The Genius.
Full of glory and renown. That's
number 24 is Marlena.
Okay, that's he's speaking of positioning. Oh.
Number 23 is Michael Hayes. Hey. New Jack will cut you.
He'll cut you.
Number 23, Michael Hayes.
Really? Why?
He managed the Hardy Boys for a week and a half.
Yeah, so I wouldn't put... I would put The Genius ahead of Michael Hayes.
Yeah, I would put... Yeah, okay. Number 22, Armando Estrada.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I know. I didn't write the list.
I still put Armando ahead of Michael Hayes, although that's like a tie.
Yeah, okay. Number 21, Teddy Long. Back to Mac.
Well, back to Mac, talk about Doom.
Well, that's the thing. Do
you
talk about Doom? If
you
talk about Doom, you should be much higher.
You have to talk about Doom.
Exactly. Number 20, Oliver Humperdinck. Number 19, Stephanie McMahon.
What?
I know. Number 18, Harvey Whippleman, who was ahead of Teddy Long.
Oh, fuck off, Harvey Whippleman. Oh, the big bully Busick.
Yep.
Sid, who else? Fucking well done.
I know, brutal.
Jesus.
Look, at least...
Well, Armando is better than Harvey Whippleman.
I agree. At least Johnny Polo didn't make the list. The Million Dollar Man is number 17.
Okay, I buy
number
that.
Number 16 is the gentleman whose song you just sung.
Slick.
Vicky Guerrero is number 15.
Paul
Ellering is number 14.
Okay.
Miss Elizabeth is number 13.
Yeah, okay.
12 is Paul Heyman.
Hmm, interesting.
11 is Sonny.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Fuji is number 10.
I love Mr. Fuji.
Me too. Number 9 is Jim Cornette.
Okay, number 9.
Number 8 is Arnold Skoland.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus.
Randy. Riley.
Riley.
Number 7.
Jimmy.
How would you spell Jimmy? No, just don't bother. How would you spell Paul Bearer? He is number 7.
B-E error.
He's number 7. The Grand Wizard is number 6.
Really? Because I wouldn't think they would put the KKK on there.
Sensational Sherry is number 5. Mm. That leaves 4 individuals. Can you guess any of those? Who's left?
Oh, in terms of the 4 individuals?
Yeah,
I mean,
4 individuals.
Well, you've got, you have Bobby the Brain Heenan, obviously.
And where do you think he is?
He's got to be number 1.
You'd be correct. So number two would be?
I'm guessing it's maybe Classy Freddie Blassie or the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart?
The Mouth of the South is number two.
Okay. So is Freddie Blassie three or four?
Three.
Three, okay.
That leaves Captain Lou. Right. Number four.
Yes, yes.
So what do you think of that overall list? I mean, a lot of that, there is a lot of bullshit on that list. Though, as you get to the very top, I don't have too much problem with
it. The thing is, you throw
who
out.
Who else did Blassie, though, really manage that had great success?
He, a lot of guys back then. Yeah. A Hogan. You know what I mean? Like, back then, it was when you talk about the Grand Wizard and
what about Valentine? He's not on this list.
Who? Valiant?
Valiant. Sorry, Johnny Valiant, yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
I guess.
He's like, I mean, the same way that Stephanie and... Really, the only two people I had a problem being on that top 25 list were Stephanie and...
Gary Hart's not on it.
Well, exactly. I mean, Gary Hart should be on it, but to me, and James Julius Caesar Dillon.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you throw... you chuck Stephanie off there, and you chuck... Downtown Bruno there, Harvey Whippleman off there.
And, or Michael P.S. Hayes. At least Whippleman was a longer.
No, you know. Fuck off. He didn't shit.
Yeah, I guess.
What are you talking?
Does Vince McMahon qualify as a manager?
No.
And by the same token as a lot of these people, I think he could.
Well, or he could, Eric but Bischoff. No. He could, but no. We don't put him on there.
Okay. All right, then. All right. That's that list, dude. What else you want to hit? Another topic? Another game? Another, your mom. What else do we want to get to here? What are we at? 48 minutes?
Yeah,
let's hit one last topic.
Yeah, okay. If you got one last topic, then hit it up and let's.
Okay, I was recently, a couple nights ago, I was watching Diamond Dallas Page in the match you referred to in our interview on YouTube.
Yeah.
Was Sting, a tremendous match.
Right.
And somehow off that was a link to Booker T and Goldust. And I got lost watching all the different Booker T and Goldust vignettes.
It doesn't matter, Booker.
That occurred for months and months and months.
They
and
really
it was
they
so,
did.
So goddamn funny.
Oh, they're
and
amazing.
Then, you know, you had that. You had Edge and
Christian
and how funny they were, and even with Angle. And you had a lot of good humor back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, what is the role of comedy in wrestling today? And what should be the role of comedy in wrestling today?
Well, you say, what is the role of comedy in wrestling today? Nothing makes me laugh right now.
Fake Obama didn't make you laugh?
Who?
Fake Obama?
Yeah, fuck. Fake Obama.
Hornswoggle and Carlito doing a Looney Tunes thing?
Well, and I wouldn't consider that today. That was years ago. But, I mean, still, that didn't make me laugh. Then doesn't make me laugh now. The fucking Big Show reading a bedtime story to fucking Hornswoggle is the Money in the Bank. Commercial doesn't make me laugh. I mean, really, Santino, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because he by himself is funny, regardless of the material. He's very talented at that.
But he's not put in any real situation. And they're trying to make him a little more serious with his matches. So, I mean, even then,
slightly.
Slightly. But, I mean, he's not all comedy match. He's not a Scotty Goldman match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's... I just look at it like nothing's funny right now. Outside of maybe if they do, it's almost by accident.
But you know what? Despite that, I'll say, you know, you say nothing's funny right now. Then why is it when I watch Raw, I feel like of the 2 hours, they're trying to fill an hour and 45 minutes of it with comedy?
Well, because they're trying. You're right. There's a difference between them trying to fill it with comedy, like you said, and me actually laughing.
Yeah, and that is the thing. I think the role of comedy nowadays is when they don't know how to book a good storyline or an angle that draws money, what they do is they attempt to fill that time because they have to fill so much.
Well, you talk about,
with comedy.
Well, you talk
and
about
when you
the,
get the Barack Obama. And though in the day, they also had the Bill Clinton imitator, and that was fucking not funny either.
No,
that was before writers got there.
Who's the cocksucker that's writing the show?
Kevin Dunn? Brian Gewirtz?
Gewirtz.
I can't remember. Thank you.
Brian Gewirtz.
Go back and listen to Douche or No Douche, folks,
and
on an old episode of We Talk Wrestling, WTW.
All we talk about there is I mean, Brian Gewirtz, that's what he is. He's supposedly this quote-unquote comedy writer, which is fine when he had main event talents like The Rock, who were established and were over and could be funny.
Yeah.
And Andrew Christian talk about, you know, the funny. But and funny has its place in the mid card. Funny doesn't draw money, as the old saying goes.
Jim Cornette.
So it's something that you got to be able to take it to that.
So
next
what
level.
Should the role be? What should the role of comedy and wrestling be?
Which is the mid card fill, right? It's to entertain. You know, the main event should be serious. There should be maybe a serious issue or two on the actual show on that undercard. But then in the undercard as well, there should be...
So essentially what you're saying is John Cena should never be in a main event. Because yeah, John Cena, by his nature of the characters that built him, uh-huh, is designed to be a comedy character in many ways. Or not a comedy character, that's probably not the right way. But designed to not take things seriously and look at everything with a joke.
Yeah,
he's not a comedy character in the same way that you don't take him seriously as a performer.
I do.
You take him seriously. You don't take him seriously.
I don't take him seriously.
I'm just saying there's a difference between him and Santino. There is a difference in the way they come across. There is some in that you feel like John Cena, if you just shut up and concentrated on being an ass and kicking ass, you could do it maybe. Whereas Santino, no hope for that regardless. I'll say this. I look back on... WCW, and I can watch a Nitro. I can watch it from the beginning of the end when it was at its best. Mm-hmm. You might have a guy on there like Chris Jericho if he got a chance to cut a promo. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the truth, there was no comedy written for the show, essentially.
Pepe?
Yeah. Okay, Pepe.
And Perry Saturn in a dress was supposed to be
That's
funny.
A little... And even then, that's getting
they
a little
They always
bit
had
later.
One.
I'm talking about 1996.
They always had one.
Not in 1996, they didn't. No, not they, when they were really no, winning the ratings there.
Was 97.
Okay.
Well, and they always had one.
And 96 was when the NWO first showed up. They were winning the ratings by late 96.
Yes.
But they didn't... You know, I mean, okay, maybe they had one. Maybe they do. I can't even recall one in 1996, honest to God. I cannot think of one. I can think of... I don't think you need it. I mean, I really... Don't I'd be okay. There's moments where I've watched a comedy a segment, and like mm-hmm. I say, we can sit there and talk about some of the funniest stuff and laugh our asses off. And I can't say I didn't enjoy. I could watch that Booker T, and I could watch them do the movie review. Booker T and Goldust do the movie review mm-hmm. of Scorpion King 5 billion times and laugh every time. It was so goddamn great.
Yeah,
but that's not the same as me saying I need comedy in my wrestling.
I don't need it. I'm just saying that if you're going to have a role for it, if you're going to have it, then that's what it is. It's a mid-card.
So would you have
fill.
It or wouldn't you have it?
Sure, I'd have it.
Yeah.
If it makes sense. I don't as you said
so
I
one
don't,
segment per show.
If it calls for it, I don't need to have it. I don't have to say okay, now we've got a book. This is it's 8:25. We got to have the fucking comedy spot. Like we have to have the women's match. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you have the performer that can pull it off, and you have someone to like Zack Ryder could fill that role
yeah.
right now, right?
Yeah.
And but they don't use him.
No.
So, but that's someone that would fill that role and get over in that role, and you can use the comedy in a way that it's not like Edge. It's not. Character limiting or character defining because there's always a way to evolve out of it.
Yeah, and like a Chris Jericho was a great example, and here's a guy who's very
yeah.
smart and funny, but didn't always have to be funny. But it's not just a WWE phenomenon. In fact, I'd say they do it much less on SmackDown, and TNA itself also does this. They use comedy as a crutch. They've
well,
done
you
it
talk
so many
about
times. In fact, comedy is probably the only thing Russo has some sort of skill
yeah.
at.
Yeah, but what that happens to be, though, is that when you talk about TNA and comedy, what it is that TNA actually is a joke.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
it's
true.
Its entire existence. Okay. So that's...
So you... Yeah, okay. All right.
I have it. If you've got the performer that can pull it off because, like, a Zack Ryder, because I feel that just like it did with Edge and Christian... I'm trying to think of maybe some other groups.
We always saw it. Even when we were young, we saw Bobby Heenan and Lord Alfred Hayes and
right.
and Mr. Fuji and
Fuji Vice.
The Bushwhackers, and there was always there was always comedy bits in wrestling within the WWF/WWE. There was not always, you know, as I say in other places, but I love Stampede Wrestling Club without it. Right now, I would love to see no comedy for a while, just to straighten up and serious up the product, try and make the titles more important, try and make the matches more important, though the matches still matter in TNA or Impact Wrestling. I would like to see a break from comedy for a while, but, yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Now, I think we should go out with our ongoing feature on Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
You want to hit that?
That
hit
would
the music.
Be the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
So many great Hulk Hogan bullshits to choose from. How about this one, Addy? You're going to love this. Hulk Hogan wrote in his book that he released within the WWE that when The Rock at WrestleMania 18 gave him the rock bottom, it broke every rib in his body. But he still told The Rock to pick him up and give him another so he could put The Rock over properly.
Nice. Well, what a great guy.
Hulk is he's a little angel is what he is.
You know, and yeah, that's really what it is. Is he's, you know, he may be the angel, but to watch him all these years, we are the ones that have been blessed.
We are the ones in hell. O-U-T.
All right. Well, on that note, in the meantime and in between time, want to invite everyone to hit us up. If you've got a question, it's wrestling@wetalkpodcasts.com. You can get our website, our new website. WeTalkWrestling.com is up and running, so we invite you to go over there and read some of our blogs, and that's where you'll catch all the latest wonderful shows like the ones one that you're listening to right this second. So you can hit Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com, Mo at WeTalkWrestling.com if you want to...
WeTalk Podcast.
Oh, you're a WeTalk Podcast because you're a fuck. That's exactly why. Actually, I asked. I said, "Why do you have that?" And you're like, "Because I'm a fuck."
I said I'm a fat fuck.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to be accurate.
A lot.
Goddamn wheat.
But all right. Well, in the meantime and in between time, on that note,
DDP.
That's it. Go watch DDP. It really
Thank
is
you, DDP.
Great. So another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.